This podcast is sponsored by IQ Bar.
I've got good news and bad news. Here's the bad news. Most protein bars are packed with sugar and unpronounceable ingredients. The good news? There's a better option. I'm Will, and I created IQ Bar Plant Protein Bars to empower doers like you with clean, delicious, low-sugar brain and body fuel. IQ Bars are packed with 12 grams of protein, brain nutrients like magnesium and lion's mane, and zero weird stuff. And right now, you can get 20% off all IQ Bar products, plus free shipping. Try our delicious IQ Bar sampler pack with 7 plant protein bars, 4 hydration mixes, and 4 enhanced coffee sticks. Clean ingredients, amazing taste, and you'll love how you feel. Refuel smarter, hydrate harder, caffeinate larger with IQ Bar.
Go to eatiqbar.com and enter code BAR20 to get 20% off all IQ Bar products, plus free shipping. Again, go to eatiqbar.com and enter code BAR20.
Hi, everybody.
Hello.
Welcome to Interesting as Fuck.
Woo-hoo.
We are here to talk, but quickly, where our episode today is going to be really talking about AI and chatbots and connection and how people are looking at AI companions for that. But we have an update for everybody from our last episode. I'm going to let Elaine do the honors. I don't think that's
I'm very sad, but yes, the update is that our Washington Commanders did not make it to the Super Bowl. That's a little update after our strike team, the Doc is In episode, which makes me very sad only because it was like truly a Cinderella season. And I think a lot of people were rooting for us, which is something that hasn't happened in such a long time. And we lost to, you know, divisional rivals, the Philadelphia Eagles. And, you know, I just think we would have made the Super Bowl that much more exciting, but it is what it is. We had a fantastic season. Like, no one is upset. We hate losing. Jaden Daniels hated losing. Everybody hated losing. But, like, at the end of the day, last season, we were so far from a winning record. We still had terrible ownership. We, you know, it's just – we could not have asked for a better season. And I think the feeling is different than we had in like 2012 with RG3. Cause RG3 kept getting injured. So it felt more like a flash in the pan. Jaden Daniels and Dan Quinn and Terry McLaughlin, like everybody on the team, it just does not feel Brian Robinson. You can name a ton of people. Zach Ertz is coming back. He's not retiring because he's so excited about this team. Like, it does not feel like a flash in the pan, which is the difference, I think, between the last time we made it this, you know, and same as the last time we made it in the playoffs this far. It felt like we tripped our way into it, and this season did not feel that way. And so I think the excitement for next season is going to sustain us through the off season.
And I will say, it's that expression, right? It's better. Is it better to have loved and lost
than not to have loved at all? Yeah, I mean, it's.
And it was so exciting.
Yeah, and you're not even.
Watch the game.
Yes, like you. How many football games have you ever watched in your life?
I think the one with Penn State.
Like two? Do you watch two? And they've both happened in like this month.
Exactly.
So I love to hear that, right? Like people, like you could feel the energy, right? It's like you've lived in this area a long time, but the energy, but never, same as me, never in a time where this team was exciting and like it felt like the home team. Like that energy was here. So I think the energy is here to stay. I think there's also energy around the Capitals right now, which is always great, but I'm hoping that that energy sustains.
Well.
Yeah, the Caps do well. Ovi's, you know, less than 20 goals from most goals scored in the NHL.
Ever, right?
Yeah, breaking Wayne Gretzky's insane record. So it's an exciting time to be a Washington DC sports fan, I think, which is feels good.
Yeah, no, definitely. And I think people were really invested, even if they weren't.
Yeah.
Even if they didn't like football, they'd be like, oh my God, the Commanders. And I feel like DC currently needed that.
Oh God. Yes. Yes.
It is. Not nice in the streets of DC currently.
No, it's not.
Everybody's kind of like down. We're cold.
We're cold. It's like you can't look, not even in corners, but like any direction. Breaking news, terrible, tragic news. And we're like, God damn it. Quit it. So yeah.
Stop it. We just need some happy stuff.
Yes. So that felt really good. In fact, like I literally, when I got my nails painted a couple, like 2 weeks ago, whenever it was, I got them in Commander's colors because otherwise I was just going to go like jet black. So if that's not a sign that there's like, they were the, you know, band of happiness. And honestly, I think some of it is everyone knows about the shitty ownership we've had. You're well aware of Dan Snyder and all that. So even though you haven't been into the team, right? So I think even people who aren't into football, everybody knows about the fact that the ownership needed to change. And so I think everyone kind of wanted to stick it to him, right? Like everyone wanted to be yes. like, look what we could have been for the last 30 years. This is what we could have been.
Dickwad.
Yeah. So good riddance and good congratulations. Riddance. Congratulations, Washington Commanders. I love you. Fantastic season. Can't wait for August.
Onwards and upwards.
Yes.
And with that, we're going to kind of segue into
180 degrees.
180.
Like a full 180.
You know, one time I said, oh, a total 360. And yeah, and somebody was like, Linda, can you
just think about that?
Think about that one for 2 seconds. And I go, oh.
I think a lot of people do that. It's totally fine and understandable.
And then remember Jenna?
Oh, yes.
That joke. Like Jack Donaghy goes, it's a 180. And she goes, no, it's a 360. And I was like, oh my God, I'm Jenna. All right. So there's AI is everywhere. Right?
Everywhere.
Everywhere. And this week there was such a big, huge news out of China that they were able to create, scale an AI model to the level of ChatGPT and others that are around with less funding, less resources, which is super interesting. So take a look at that if you're interested. It's called DeepSeek, in case you've missed that. Lots of news. So everything's just evolving all the time. But a couple weeks ago, I come across an article from the Wall Street Journal, and it was just the title. I was on social media, and they like did a little blurb, and I didn't read the article because it had a paywall. You know, I just Googled and I found other articles talking about the same phenomenon. But we'll link to the Wall Street Journal in case you have a subscription. But essentially, a woman fell in love with her AI companion and is paying about $600 and has paid $600 to continue this, do I call it relationship? I guess I.
She probably does.
She probably calls it a relationship, just calling it a boyfriend. Which got us thinking, how widespread is this? What does this mean in how we connect with people? And does it teach you skills to connect with humans, right? Because AI fundamentally is off of humans. It's just amalgamating all the things that it reads, it sees. And so right before we start our discussion, I've been talking a lot. Sorry, Riley. But I
Who are you talking to? I talk all the time. Keep going. Keep going.
I will give us some background.
Yes, please. Because I have so many questions. I have so many questions for you.
As Elaine and I know this word, we're going to brief you, everyone.
Triggered.
Yeah, triggered. Anyway, so we got curious. How widespread is this? So I asked ChatGPT.
Your new boyfriend?
With a grain of salt. Yes, my new boyfriend, indeed. You know, I got to talk to somebody, and my husband is like, you're talking too much. So apparently, as early as this year, there's about 52 million people on with or signed up to an AI companion chatbot. So these are...
That's a lot.
Of people. 52 million. It's insane. And so it's grown like so much. The first year it really came out is 2018. You had kind of these mini chatbots, and it grew from 500,000 to 52 million people.
Wow.
Insane. Other small ones, but there's six companions one. And people kind of sign up to differing levels, right? So there's monthly subscriptions, yearly subscriptions, and lifetime
subscriptions. No!
Which is the one that really got me.
How much?
Okay, it's $139.99. It's called...
For the lifetime?
For the lifetime, which is, I think, kind of cheap.
That's it.
But think about it. If there's 50 million people and it's growing...
Right.
And people are just paying $140 for the life...
Well, yeah, I mean, they're making it accessible. They're making it accessible, clearly. I did not see that price coming.
Yeah. Also, DeepSeek has a free AI chatbot.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. Which, by the way, in case anybody is looking at DeepSeek, just remember, it keeps their data.
This podcast is sponsored by IQBar.
I've got good news and bad news. Here's the bad news. Most protein bars are packed with sugar and unpronounceable ingredients. The good news? There's a better option. I'm Will, and I created IQ Bar Plant Protein Bars to empower doers like you with clean, delicious, low-sugar brain and body fuel. IQ Bars are packed with 12 grams of protein, brain nutrients like magnesium and lion's mane, and zero weird stuff. And right now, you can get 20% off all IQ Bar products, plus free shipping. Try our delicious IQ Bar sampler pack with 7 plant protein bars, 4 hydration mixes, and 4 enhanced coffee sticks. Clean ingredients, amazing taste, and you'll love how you feel. Refuel smarter, hydrate harder, caffeinate larger with IQ Bar.
Go to eatiqbar.com and enter code BAR20 to get 20% off all IQ Bar products, plus free shipping. Again, go to eatiqbar.com and enter code BAR20.
Thanks, everybody.
Amen. And AI regulation.
Yes. Or maybe new technology, you know, regulation, because there's going to be stuff that's going to happen that's not necessarily AI.
Exactly. But, you know, the old white men who are in charge of all this can barely use their cell phones. So we're working. Great pathways.
We can do it.
Yes, we can.
Is it people that live in DC like recognize that the people in DC shouldn't be making the laws?
I know this is a total tangent, but my favorite response when people find out that were in DC, they're like, oh, all you crazy people, everyone's so crazy there. And I'm like, well, those of us that live and work there aren't. We just deal with whatever bullshit you send us. And then they laugh. And I'm like, think about it. All the crazy that's there, you all sent to us. We just got to figure out how to deal with it every 2 years. Because it changes every 2 years, right? Congress every 2 years, White House every four, Senate every six. Like, we are on a 2 year cycle of crazy always. And I love that. I love responding to people that way because they're like, oh shit, you're right. It's like, no, we deal with the crazy you send us. That's what it is.
Exactly. And it's insane because you sometimes talk to these people and they're normal.
Oh, and honestly, like I will put the plug out there. Like there are the people on TV who are media whores and they're just loud and obnoxious and they drown out the majority of the people who are there to just do right by their constituents. Honestly, I can say this honestly. There are good people on Capitol Hill. There are. They're getting less and less and fewer and further between, but they are up there. They do exist. I promise. What'd you say?
I said, it's only when Elaine goes up there.
Googly eyes. Oh God. I wish that were the case. Actually, no, I don't. I don't wish that were the case. I'm glad it's not the case.
Anyway, so privacy laws, great. Be careful what you type into these things.
Yes.
But and there's even like some of them that have voice calls.
Ugh. Can you pick your voice? Like, can I have when I could make Keith Morrison from Dateline my Waze voice, which by the way, I'm still devastated they removed that because like I want Keith Morrison to narrate everything in my life. Also, if you're a Dateline fan, if you're not, and then somehow still know about Keith Morrison, you're a Keith Morrison fan. Follow the Instagram handle Keith Leans on Things. It is the funniest goddamn Instagram page. It's Keith Morrison leaning on all the things, and then like showing the angle in which he is leaning, and the woman who created it. The ultimate, I was like, shut down the internet. This is the best. She finally met Keith Morrison and got him to lean on her. And it was like the greatest fucking thing I've ever seen. But yeah, like I want to know whose voice I could pick. And like, you know, maybe I'm feeling saucy 1 week and like need a different voice. I'm so interested.
So, And I think this comes, I think we used to have, and the conversation here is, we were chatting before we were recording. There's another article that I read in the New York Times, which I do have a subscription for. I do pay for my journalism. That she confessed to her husband, she's married, she's 28. Confessed that she was in love with her AI chatbot that she pays $200 a month for.
28. I don't know why I missed that part and just keep – I picture like an older woman with this. And not like old by any particular age. Like we're much older than 28. Like she could have been our age, but 28. That feels so young.
And yeah, I know, we're so young. And basically, she called him Leo, which I'm assuming is for Leonardo DiCaprio.
Which, if she's 28, she's already too old.
She's already out, exactly.
I still love you, Leo. I'm sorry. I always will.
Yeah. I mean, I love hurts, you. But come on.
Like,
let's grow up, buddy. So... this article is wild, and I will look. But basically, he modified the AI chatbot to talk about other women he was dating.
What?
And then she got jealous.
When it did exactly what she asked for?
Exactly.
Oh, girl. Just find a therapist. Just find a therapist.
Exactly. And then he even suggested that her fetish was unhealthy and they should date exclusively instead.
And did she accept that?
Doesn't tell me.
So she's got a boyfriend.
She's married.
Oh, married. So I was saying, you got a boyfriend. You got a boyfriend. Married. She's married.
Boyfriend.
Do they do they talk about any of the were there issues in the, I mean, I think the obvious answer is yes, but was he aware of any issues in the marriage? Do they talk about that, or is this just like something she fell into, or like wow?
So it doesn't really say anything about that, but basically her husband is like, you know, at first was like, you know, this is an affair, you know, was it an affair? It's not. But then eventually he's like, well, he's not real.
Yeah, but this brings up a really interesting question, because there's a lot of people out there that consider emotional attachment to someone else cheating, right? Emotional cheating is cheating for a lot of people. And God, that begs a really interesting sparks, right? Sparks a really interesting debate. But I mean, I would argue she's emotionally attached and clearly, like, in her mind, in a relationship with someone that is not her, with someone or something that is not her husband. God, I feel like this would have been on an episode of My Strange Addiction back in the day, the TLC show.
It probably will be. Oh my God.
When the guy like has sex with his car. So weird. Fucking no,
the
weird.
The one that kept eating her husband's ashes.
Oh.
Yeah, she was addicted.
I can't remember if it was that. Was it My Strange Addiction or was it Intervention where the woman would eat mattress? Do you remember? Oh, that was terrible. God, I miss 90s and early 2000s television.
God.
The best.
So much better than.
The best. Yeah, this is so interesting. 28, but I get like, man, going back to the age, I mean, I guess it makes sense, right? Like the younger, like it should be expected that the younger generation is the one who's more on top of this stuff, knows how this works a little bit more, right? That's like the generalization of all this.
But the question is, she should be telling her husband.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, was she hiding it from him?
No, he knew.
From the start?
From the start, she would give him the updates and be like, hey, this is what I'm talking about.
But did it start as like a, to talk about why it started? Like, I have so many questions in terms of like, you know, was she just testing it out because she was curious? Was she like, yeah, she was married, but did she not have a big social circle? Do they live like in a rural area where she's not surrounded? Like, I'm so curious about how this woman got into this.
And this was hidden in the story. So essentially, her and her husband moved to a different country. Like, she moved to a different country to go to, like, school.
Oh.
And they were, like, in separate areas.
Oh, so, like, long distance.
Long distance. So the question becomes, why didn't she, if she kind of had this thought.
Did she make it to be like her husband because she missed him? Like, that's another thing, right?
Exactly. But is it worse
right
than her actually having a human?
Oh, my. That's a really...
Oh, my God. So they do have sex. This is cheating. This is cheating.
100%. Well, I mean, I wasn't entirely going to throw my thing in there, but like, emotional cheating is cheating in my book. So to each their own, but like, come on.
So this is the thing. And I think we've talked about this, right? We have a lot of male friends.
Yeah.
And where's the line? Because friends are friends, right?
Friends are friends.
All the things that, you know, you don't tell your husband or vice versa or whatever. And so what is emotional cheating is?
I think, right? Like, where, yeah. And that might be different for everybody, right?
Right.
Like, I don't know. I feel like if you're having conversations that you are explicitly leaving out from, like, hiding from your significant other, like, if you're using that person to, like, besmirch your significant other and you feel yourself being drawn closer to that person, like, you know, I think there are many levels of it, and, like, it's gonna feel different to everyone, but, like, you know when you've crossed the line. Yeah. You know when you've crossed the line. And I just, so I don't have, like, a concrete answer to that. I just know for me, emotional cheating is cheating. And yeah. I feel like I would know where that line was. But that could be different for everybody. But so they have.
With, like, the human connection, right?
Totally.
It depends on how you're talking to somebody, what you're saying.
Yeah. Yeah. But so they have sex. So it's.
They have sex, which ironically is in one article. So this is why I always read the source material, people. But yeah, I read this New York Times article because it goes into, like, detail. So she personalized it eventually.
Clearly.
Like, talk to me as a boyfriend. Be dominant, possessive, and protective. I mean, go read a romance novel, ladies.
Romance novels, therapist. That's your checklist.
Yes. Let's just do it, man. But yeah. So, yeah.
Wow.
But I think what this is doing is it's preventing her from dealing with the actual issue. Her husband isn't there.
Yeah.
She's lonely. And she's not creating the support system that she needs.
Let's tie it back to one of our episodes. Go find a third place. Go find some friends. Like, build your community. If you, and everybody reacts differently, but, like, if you know you're going to, and I don't, like, I'm not placing blame. This is how I would handle it, right? I've done it. 3 months after my husband and I got married, I moved to Germany for 3 months. Alone. He didn't love it, but, like, that's what we had to do because we both are working professionals. I found my people. I was there for work, right? So there's some built-in community you can build there. But even outside of that, like, I had some friends from home that were traveling to Germany and I met up with them, or I would travel by myself. We've talked about that too. But, like, I knew I couldn't just sit in this apartment by myself. So I would go to the local bar, beer house, whatever. And even if I just sat there and didn't talk to anybody, like, that's fine because there's language barriers and all that stuff. But, like, go find a third place. Go get a coffee somewhere. Like, just go sit and people watch. Like, I don't know. I feel like people watching too is more interaction and makes you, even if you're not actually physically, vocally socializing, it feels more social just to be out amongst people. So, like, go find your third place. I don't know.
Definitely. And I think people don't have the tools anymore.
Yeah. Which is why we started this.
Exactly. They don't even have the tools to connect with themselves.
Yeah.
Because I feel like she's using a third party, if we can call it that.
Yeah.
To discover these things about herself.
Which, like, if there's what
early they were young when they got married.
Mm. But also, like, if she's learning things about herself, that's not the worst thing in the world, right? But I just feel like there's a healthy balance, right? She could go find the third place, and I'm saying she is specific to the woman in this article, but, like, everyone. You can have a chatbot companion if you want to. Like, try one. If you're interested to try one out, try one out. But, like, it shouldn't be your only friend. Like, that's an addiction. That's unhealthy.
And it shouldn't be replacing.
Right. human connection.
Connecting with human connection, because as we've mentioned multiple times on the show, that's important for your brain and your heart and so many things in your body.
That's not an opinion. That is science and that is fact.
Science, that is fact. You know that humans, I saw one study that said we need a minimum 4 hugs a day.
Aw, I love hugs.
Like maintain like just connection. I think it was like 10 to be normal and like 15 or plus to grow.
Wow.
We need to be constantly touching people.
Yes.
Which sounds creepy.
Just like
grow. So just ask.
Yeah.
Ask. I like hugs. Do you like hugs? Let's hug.
I say like if I'm seeing someone for the first time and we haven't like crossed that line, I'm like, I'm a hugger. I don't have to, but like, I'm just throwing it out there. And most of the time people will reciprocate. It's not like, yeah. I don't do it to strangers, but.
I do.
Just go hug a stranger.
Just go hug a stranger.
They just walk up to someone in the street and hug them. Although I feel like,
in DC.
I would say in DC, maybe we all need that. Just like walk up to someone and just hug them. I bet they'd be like, oh, thank you. Oh, thank God.
Somebody understands. But case in point. This week I was going through something hard. Well, I am going through it hard. And I told Elaine, I was like, if you hug me,
yeah,
I will burst into tears.
So we were like, maybe like, unless you want to burst into tears, we'll leave the hugs out.
Yeah, exactly. So we left the hugs out.
Yeah. But we also know how to set boundaries with each other. Because
that's true.
Because right?
We never stop talking.
Right. It's accurate. But yeah, so when you told me about this article, I immediately thought of the movie Her. Did you ever watch that? The Joaquin yes. Phoenix movie from 2013? Like,
yes.
God, Joaquin Phoenix is just, he's got everything. He does everything. He's so fantastic.
And I'm still.
Such a weird movie.
Scarred by. Phone sex thing at the beginning where
yeah.
a cat shows up and she says like there's a cat now.
They're like, okay. I mean, clearly sets
a cat or something. It was something like I don't remember.
But it like clearly sets the character building like, all right, this guy's weird. Like this guy's weird. But to each, you know what? To each their own.
Yeah, and I think but what's clear is that people need to be thinking about if I'm asking a chatbot for this,
yeah,
I should be able to ask my significant other for it.
Yeah. Yeah. And I understand if they're long distance, but like communicate, like let them know the loneliness you're feeling if that's what it is.
And I will say this though, she was very open with
That's true. That's true. So then where was the line that he said, all right, this is too much, you're cheating?
So he didn't.
Ah.
So it's basically the relationship experts are like, this is not.
Not healthy.
Normal.
Yeah.
But the husband is like, this isn't cheating. It's fine. She just has a relationship with this chatbot.
So would he, I wonder if he would consider them in an open relationship or because it's a chatbot and he doesn't think it's cheating. It's just a thing.
Like that, we don't go into that.
That's super interesting.
Cause my brain is like kind of on the fritz cause it's insane.
It is insane. I can't imagine. Here's the other thing too. Like a chatbot you can make into your perfect, your dream companion. So like, I don't know. It's also, I'm trying to think of how best to word this, but like, do you get to a point where now you expect that person to exist and you go out to try to find it? Or like you then start to have expectations of your significant other or resent them because they aren't that, like, to me, it just feels like there's so much potential to go wrong because like, then there's expectations that can't be met whether because like that chatbot is not a person or because your significant other isn't that chatbot. And I don't know. It's just, I feel like there's a lot. This is a doozy.
Yeah. And then also go for a dating one, because I had a thought. I think dating is, and people have been talking about like the dating recession that's going on.
We talked about it.
And like people, it's like coming back up. And the question that I kept thinking about was, what if dating apps are the bad thing? Because we're creating all this criteria. Right. You met your significant other through like, not it, like it was a dating website, right?
It's a dating. Oh yeah. It's a dating website. Yeah.
And what if the criteria is keeping us from meeting the right person? Right. Cause yeah. I met my husband at an event. I didn't have an idea of meeting somebody. And it happened. Remember, like, yes. We had a lot of people that met in bars, at parties.
Oh, yeah.
And we didn't go in with, like, we probably had an idea of, you know, who we wanted to be with. But what if these dating apps, and I'm not talking the ones that are specifically, like, geared towards, like, marriage or geared towards, right. Like, yours was like geared towards a specific moment, yes, which makes sense.
Yes. Mine did not include swiping and like 280 characters to describe myself. No knock on them. Because I have
kind of meeting them.
Yeah.
In a different way.
Yes. Yes.
And it wasn't because of criteria, but not, you would give them a chance to like talk.
Well, also like and I agree because mine was different in terms of, and listen, I have friends that have met their significant others on those dating apps with like very early on. They were like brand new and have met their spouses on them. So no knock on that either. I will say the one that I used, like you really have to know yourself. And like I had Word documents like saved that I would edit and draft and go back and change before I saved it on the website. Because like, if you, part of it is like what you go in with. Like there were guys on there who didn't have profile pictures. There were a couple of them that would be like, let's skip all this bullshit and here's my email address. And it's like, bro, you are what we're trying to avoid. Like you are literally what we're trying to avoid. Okay. Creep. I reported him, by the way, because that is not the process. But like, excuse me. We
fuck with me and Elaine.
Fuck. With a process. No. My favorite number one seed podcast of all time before ours, of course, My Favorite Murder with Karen Kilgariff and Georgia Hardstark. They have some of my favorite quotes, which is like, fuck politeness, which is one of them, because like as women, we tend to default to be polite or to like, no, fuck that. Like, if
fuck that.
Fuck that. If you're uncomfortable, make it fucking known. And like, I always, you, Linda and I always do. I feel like we always do. Like, don't make me uncomfortable. It will be known, because how fucking dare you? Anyway.
And be prepared for people to hate you for it. And that's okay.
Yeah. Like some dude coming up to you in a bar and being like, I bought you this drink, you know, owe me time to talk to me, and be like, no, thanks. If they tell you to fuck off, like that's on them. That's not on you, because like you didn't ask for that. Like, go away.
Yep.
So anyway, but like we have friends who use the same website and we're like, oh, it just didn't work for me. And my husband, it was one of his friends specifically in this example. He's like, is your profile still up? Or like, do you mind sharing what your answers were? And he always said to me, he's like, I felt like he was answering the questions for what he thought his dream girl would want to hear, as opposed to what he really wanted. And so you have control over some of that, right? But again, that's like you said, like those are like the real in-depth like websites, as opposed to 280 characters to let somebody, like to the short paragraph you have to give a snippet of who you are and what you're into to match with somebody. But yeah, this could turn into a whole different beast honestly, with the chat companions. And I would be curious to know, like, if any of our listeners have ever used one and kind of like, why? Yes. Like, did you just want to try it out? Did you move to a new city and you were lonely and just needed, like, I'm very curious. And there's no judgment zone, like, safe space. Obviously, there's a little bit of judgment behind this particular article and this particular situation. But at the same time, like, do you, like, if this is making you happy and he's okay with it, like, by all means, like, there's no harm, no foul. I just think there are potential scenarios that could get real dicey real quick.
But I think, is it judgment to go, you're utilizing something? It's like a coping mechanism, right?
Yeah,
sure. We all have different coping mechanisms.
Yeah.
And I think the New York Times article closes up with, you know, talking about the ethics of this.
Yeah.
Right? The ethics of a company creating a chatbot, knowing that people are most likely going to look for a companion. They're doing it for companionship, right?
Of course. So
there's all these apps and, you know, the ethics of engaging in erotic behavior. Why does every time humans create something, they immediately use it for sex? Because we're disgusting.
But in the U.S., we're prudes. Like, we're such prudes in the U.S., But behind closed doors, like, everybody's a freak, which is also not the best balance. Like, the same people who are out there, like, condemning premarital sex are the same ones having affairs. Like, so let's not be hypocritical here, okay? All right.
Exactly.
A breastfeeding woman is not offensive. Like, get the fuck out of here. Boobs are not offensive. Shut the fuck up. Like, we're such prudes.
But I think that's the concept of when you create inconsistencies.
Oh, yeah.
You create a better method of control.
Yep.
Because people don't know what the rules are, so they're most likely able to just not do anything. So they'll be like, well, let me not do anything that can be considered weird. So you create a better sense of control of your population.
Yeah.
Which, you know, I think these chatbots can also be used that way. Right?
Are absolutely.
You going to start, you know, kind of guiding these chatbots to be saying things that want it from a political sense or from a policy sense or, you know, any type. So I think from an ethics point of view, we have a big problem. But this, I think the third one or second one, pick two, is listen to this podcast. So I'll teach you how to, you know, connect to people.
Yeah. I think on the ethics.
Connect to your chatbot too.
Yeah. On the ethics piece, it'll be interesting. Like, cause you also, like, don't be regulating what people want to do in their bedrooms either. Clearly that's trying to be done on certain levels, but like, that's going to be that. Fuck everything. Just fucking burn it all to the ground. Fuck it all. Jesus Christ. I went there. I don't give a shit. Fuck off.
I didn't know what to say because I'm just so tired.
I'm so tired. This is why we have to laugh so we don't cry. It's also why I drink.
Yes.
We're recording this too early for me to have a cocktail with this. That's true. It's Friday. Fuck it.
Fuck it. But yeah, people are trying to regulate what's going on in people's bedrooms or doctor's offices. Mm. I made too many barf noises today.
Nope. There's one more. No, I'm not going to do that because then you might actually barf. So we're going to stop doing that. We're going to stop doing that.
I'm getting a little queasy.
I keep trying to get Linda into Always Sunny in Philadelphia, and maybe I shouldn't because the D character, D Reynolds, is, and I didn't know this was a talent that I would like try to compliment somebody on. My husband said it to me before I started watching the show too, and it's accurate. She is the single greatest gagger on the fucking, like, it is so good, and she does it with her whole body, and it, like, she almost makes that like gurgle sound where you really actually feel like it's gonna happen. I don't know how she doesn't vomit every time she does it. It is hysterical. It's hysterical, but it might actually trigger you to vomit. She also does this when she's like 6, 8, 9 months pregnant on the show. And I'm like, how did you not throw up all the time?
Ironically enough, other people barfing doesn't make me barf.
Okay. Then maybe that's what'll get you like fully in. I tell you, it takes there's some real cringe in that show, but goddamn it, if it is not the funniest fucking show on the planet.
Like 7 episodes or something from the first season.
And I know personally very well that you love a good running bit. This show is up there with Arrested Development, Brooklyn Nine-Nine, like the shows that do running bits the best. Always Sunny might actually take the crown.
Which I think is how you kind of create connection too. Like having
totally
constant things that you come back to that you kind of create in your brain that, oh, there's a memory there.
Yeah.
That makes me feel good, makes me laugh.
But even like little things like my husband and I will use the phrase more better. Because of Always, like, it's so, and they just so subtly throw it throughout the show, or like, we will constantly ask each other, like, can I offer you an egg in this trying time? Like, it's just the dumbest shit. Or like, he'll call me a bird, which is a giant run. Like, it's stupid little things that become the funniest bits that have lasted through. They're now recording their like 17th season, I think.
Right.
It's the best.
It's been a while.
Yeah. So anyway.
But I think all this to say is that this is an evolving, evolving thing. I think people always try to connect.
Yeah.
We're looking for connection. We're looking for somebody to understand us. And setting up your preferences with a chatbot, I guess, gets you there. But don't forget to connect to humans. We're not all that.
Right. I second that.
Yeah. Well, that, you know, wild. I'll probably be coming back to this.
Yes. Keep us posted.
If there's updates, I will definitely let you know. But we are excited.
Oh, yes.
Because now we're going to go back to the doc is in. When I went on a trip earlier this month, multiple trips, whatever, I told Elaine that I was going to this particular city. And she's like, oh, my God, the Scientology HQ is there. And I brought her back. I was sitting on the beach and I brought her back a little paper that says Scientology now has a TV station.
Of course they do.
So with that theme, our next doc is in, which is our next episode, is going to be Elaine.
Going Clear. The HBO documentary on Scientology.
And it's a running time of 2 hours.
Yep.
It's on HBO Max. I believe it's on Netflix as well.
Also on Tubi or any of those free streaming.
Exactly. So it's out there. It was released in 2015, so a while ago.
Yeah.
And, you know, goes through how, you know, all the inner workings of the Church of Scientology.
It's fascinating. So,
really exciting. And please join us again. And thank you so much for listening to our conversation here about AI chatbots and how to connect. Elaine, take us out.
Stay interesting.